Hello.
You're still crunching.
I'm not crunching.
All right, crunching.
Welcome to another episode of House of Noise.
You're so rude.
This is episode number 19.
Woo! I thought you were going to like flip me off or try and pretend like you were going to...
19, flipping
okay,
you off.
Okay, well, there we go, folks. She
just got the finger.
I got the bird.
Yeah, at least
it I can whip out a gun and shoot the bird.
I'm going to make you come with one finger. You know, doing a little finger motion.
No.
So,
anyway,
this episode we talked to Ben Chapman of Morning Gray.
Sounded very unsure initially in the interview, and you'll find out why. It's very funny.
Oh man, I felt so bad actually.
I did. We gave him a moment to compose himself, right. And like I said, you'll find out why.
So in this interview, he goes and talks about family life growing up with two parents that were musicians.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit about his childhood. In that sense, then he goes into how the band was created and, you know, he gets into what the band's up to at the time, which mm-hmm. at the time they had just released a new album and were playing, I think they were only playing local shows. They were hoping to get on some tours, but I don't know if that anything ever came of that.
I don't believe so.
I don't believe so either. So, will you just chomp the ice? Just eat it.
Don't tell me what to do.
Just bite it.
No.
Bite it.
No.
Bite it.
Bite you. Bite me.
Bite you. Bite me. Mm. That doesn't even make any sense.
Yes, it does. To me, it does.
Listen
to
this
one. That's all that matters.
It's like a half an hour episode.
Very short.
It's a lot of fun. Very in-depth. Very in
got
depth.
A little frog in your throat.
I got a little. I hope everybody enjoys this interview with Ben Chapman. Enjoy.
Hello.
Hey,
hello.
Ben.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Ben from Morning Gray.
Hello, welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
You called the right number.
Beautiful.
You sounded unsure about it, like, hey, this is Ben from Morning Gray, and I hope I'm calling the right number.
Right. Well, no, like, I stood up, and my guitar fell over.
Oh, no.
So, like, threw me off.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I hope it didn't fuck you up.
Go ahead, take a minute, check it out.
Take a minute. Check the baby out, because that's important.
Yeah.
It is important.
It looks all good.
Okay,
all
right, good. I just did the sign of the cross for you, just to make sure.
Right.
There's a sign of the Holy Spirit.
Right, that's the ex-Catholic coming out of me.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, goodness.
That's
so
funny.
I know, right? My first question to you, and I'm not trying to be like flippant or anything, but does your mom still play the drums?
My mom does, yes.
Does she really?
How did you know that? My mom played the drums, though.
Well, because I do my research. It's my little ancient Chinese secret. But can I ask how old she is?
Oh, God. I can't believe that I'm going to answer this because I'm not positive, so I look like
say
a really
20.
Bad
say
son.
We're going to say disclaimer. This
say
may or
20.
May not be the accurate.
Just say 20.
She's like 51.
Wow. I am just...
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, good... Because what was the name of the band that she was in? Because I'm just curious if I like...
It was a Christian band when I was growing up, when my brother and I were growing up. It was called Sackcloth and Ashes.
Wow. That's awesome that she's still, you know, playing the drums. And I hats off
well,
to her.
She plays banjo as well. And
wow.
and guitar and piano.
Oh my gosh. So she, so
a woman of many talents.
Yeah, she apparently does everything. Does she walk on water too?
I think so. I think she did that once or twice a couple hundred years ago.
A little water and a wine too.
Yeah.
All right.
And then, you know, your dad, your biological dad, he played with Louis Armstrong.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which?
Yes, our father played with Louis Armstrong. As far as we know, that was a one-time thing.
Yeah.
Well, it was on my dad's birthday. I think it was my dad's 19th birthday.
Wow.
My dad was born in 1933, so he was very old. He was like 53 or 54 when I was born.
Oh, okay.
But his clarinet, my dad played in Dixieland ragtime jazz. Mm-hmm. So his clarinet player's name was Norman Mason. And Norman Mason was teaching Louis Armstrong how to read sheet music at the time that he was playing in my dad's band. So for my dad's 19th birthday, Louis Armstrong called my father up on stage at some show to play, to sit in with him on When the Saints Go Marching In.
Oh my God.
So my dad came up, played with him, and then I guess he ended up playing the rest of the set.
Wow.
Cause he was like, he's like, oh, you're sick, dude. He's like, you're good. So he let him sit, you know, sit in for the rest of the night.
Wow.
But my dad himself is a legend, you know, from a lot of people. My dad isn't actually in the Jazz Music Hall of Fame.
Wow.
So yeah, man. So I definitely grew up in a musical home.
Yeah,
a little bit.
I was going to say, kind of like being, you know, in the shadow of that as a kid and being surrounded by music. Did you ever feel any pressure to, like, because we're doing this, that's something you have to be involved in as well? Because sometimes that can happen.
No, it's funny. Because I've been wanting to do this since as long as I can remember. At 8 years old, my brother and I started a band called the Dog Biscuits.
No way.
And we had, it was just a three piece. It was me. My dad had got me an Alvarez guitar when I was 8 years old. So I picked around on it for a couple months. And then, my brother was already, learning, piano from our father. Mm-hmm. And then, we had a friend that lived up the street. He was 11 and he played drums. He had a drum set. So I was 8, my brother was 9, and the drummer was 11, and we were like best friends at the time, you know, and so we'd go up to his house and play, and then we ended up playing like shows at like skating rinks and
really?
little dumb events like that, but yeah. You know, being so young, man, like people didn't really expect us to actually be able to do as well as we were doing, you know, I mean, it was, you know, it was fun. But you know, I always loved music. I always had a passion for it. So as long as I can remember, I definitely never felt pressured into it. I probably ended up doing that more than I did anything else when I was growing up. I would much rather have sat in my room with a guitar than go ride four wheelers or go karts with my friends.
Mm-hmm. I think it's funny that you said you only picked on it for like a few months and then you're like, all right, let's start a band.
Yeah. Well, my dad's band practiced in our living room every Sunday. My dad played organ for a Catholic church, which is why when you said Catholic, I was like, that's really funny. Cause I grew up in a Catholic church and, you know, I was baptized as a baby, you know how they do that. And then came up and did my first communion and I was an altar boy and all that. And then my dad played, you know, I also sang in the choir with my father. And that's why when I was like 8, 9 years old, I was a soprano, which is pretty wild for a boy, so my dad would play organ at the Catholic church 7 days a week.
Wow.
But on Sundays after church, we'd go back to his house and he'd play with his Dixieland jazz band in the living room. Mm-hmm. So my brother and I would, we loved it. We would just sit in there. It was so loud, but we loved it.
Yeah. So what was your journey like? Did you continue to stay involved with bands like through elementary school, high school, college? Did it just, did that ball keep on going and it never stopped?
Yeah. Well, so I did that band that, you know, with my brother and the friend, and we did that for, I don't know, we probably took it real serious for about 6 months. And then we would meet up and we ended up coming back to it several times throughout our, you know, young adult life, but it never ended up being something that we like took off with. But, I hit high school and, I didn't really do much with music in high school except by myself. I was in a, my school in Tennessee, because that's where I'm from. Mm-hmm. Our school had a 6-period class called rock band. That was literally what it was called. It wasn't like your typical traditional, you know, you know, jazz band at school that schools do or whatever. Right. This was like a rock band. You know, we had drums and bass and guitars and I was involved in that. However, I always ended up sitting in my own little like cubicle and just playing by myself. And these guys had put like a band together at high school, and they would play like, you know, talent shows and, mm-hmm. and pep rallies and stuff. And I would never perform with them. So my first real band experience came when I turned 18, right out of high school. 'Cause I dropped out of high school when I was 17.
Oh yeah.
And, well, I was a freshman for 3 years. I didn't pay attention in high school.
Ah, okay.
So I was a 3-year freshman, and then I dropped out my 3rd year of high school. And I went back when I was 19 and got my GED, which is about the time that my band started really picking up. And it was like a black metal band. It was much, much different from what I'm doing now. It was a lot heavier. And we like wore the makeup and like black leather, and we were insane, and people thought we were satanic, and we probably thought we were too.
Yeah, right.
But but that was the first time, you know, and I've done a lot of recordings and things like that with friends here and there and stuff, but that was the first band that I like felt like it was my heart and my passion and my soul. And so that band is the first one that like really got me out there to have a taste of what the industry was like. You know, we had some radio play back home on like a local FM show that showcased like local bands. You know, it wasn't anything big, you know, but it was a Nashville radio station, which is pretty cool looking back on now.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But you know, that was my first experience. That band was called The Hour Awaits, and it was my brother, the same brother that played piano in my first band. He was playing keyboard in that one, and we did that for a solid 3 or 4 years. And then that just completely fell through due to, you know, we all grew up, went our separate ways, and then the band just fell apart.
Yeah, life happens.
Yeah, life does happen sometimes.
Right. Yeah. About it. And then, I mean, I moved out here shortly after that, and, you know, to Phoenix, and I've done, you know, some projects here and there over the last few years. I've been pretty involved in the scene here for sure. You know, where I'm at right now is definitely a highlight of my musical career and journey.
Yeah. What were some things that maybe some lessons or some things that you learned, you know, going up throughout your journey that have helped you get to the place you are now that you've been able to apply to your current situation?
Oh man. I don't know. I've learned a lot. There's definitely been a lot, man, that has, you know, that I've learned along my life. And, I guess the number one thing that I have learned up until this point is that I can't expect anybody to make my life what I want it to be except for me. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've always, there were points in my life where I felt like my situation was bad because the cards that I was dealt were bad. Mm-hmm. But in reality, it was that I didn't play my hand correctly. You know, and that's and that's the biggest lesson I think I've probably learned in my life, period, whether it's involved in my musical journey or just life in general. But, you know, it's like it doesn't matter what hand you're dealt, because you can bluff and you can put on your poker face and play your hand as best as you can. And you can, you know, you can win with somebody who's got a royal flush. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It really just depends on how you play your hand.
Exactly.
And, you know, and then we actually have a song on our record that talks about that. It's called Up to You. Mm. And, it's basically, it's, you know, the song is basically saying, like, it's nobody else is going to do this thing for you, man. Like, mm-hmm. nobody can. It's all up to you to handle these problems and face them, you know, head on and deal with it. And, you know, the end results are all about what you put into something. And I feel that, and I live that every day, you know, wholeheartedly. That's my everyday from wake up to lay down, right. You know?
Do the other guys kind of have that same mentality as far as feeling kind of,
are you all on the same page?
I like to think so. Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody, and that's the thing too, is like most bands have a weak link. And I don't really feel like our band really has one. I mean, you know, there are some members that aren't doing as well as other members, you know, as far as this whole thing called life, but everybody has a really good positive outlook on their life, which to me is the whole battle, you know.
Right.
It's not really about what you're going through. It's about how you look at what you're going through. Perspective, man. Like, that's everything.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, the old adage is, you know, looking at the glass half empty or half full. I mean, it really is all about perspective and how you see things.
Right.
So. Yeah. If all you think is negative, that's all you're going to feel is negative.
Mm-hmm. Right. So. Yeah, man. And I was, that was me for a long time. And I lived in that whole, you know, living on the pity pot. And, and it took me a while, man. It took me a long time. I went through some very dark years.
Yeah.
From like 2013 to 2016 were very, very dark years for me. And, you know, there just came a day where I'm like, man, you're either going to live or you're going to exist.
Yeah.
And I don't want to just exist. I want to live. I want to be able to enjoy life and what it is instead of just existing in the shadows. And, and you know, that's not me. That's not where I want to be. I want to be someone who can help the next person who might not have something that I have.
Yeah.
I see a lot of that in your lyrics now, too, that you say that. You're definitely trying to
absolutely
a nice positive outlook or, you know, message in your lyrics.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Right from the beginning of the record, and you know, honestly too, like our record digs very deep into some dark things, dark issues. But at the same time, you know, it also talks about hope and what it takes to overcome these dark situations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, honestly, I feel like everybody's going to go through something bad. It's because that's life. Mm-hmm. But it's only as bad as you make it.
Yep.
You know, and that goes back to the whole perspective thing, glass half empty, half full, you know, whatever. But it's a guarantee that you're going to go through things in this life that you're not going to enjoy.
Exactly.
And you're going to experience sadness and, you know, and anger and all kinds of different emotions, man. Like, that's a guarantee, but it's not about what you go through. It's about how you get through it. you know?
As a
And for me, luckily, like, music is my outlet on all of this.
Right.
If I have a bad day tomorrow, I can come home and I can pick up my guitar and I can literally feel better in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, it's like people that work out. Same thing.
Yeah.
I think everybody does need an outlet, though. They need that one thing that they can go to, and that's like, just give me like 20 minutes of doing this and I'll be good, you know?
Right. Yep. Absolutely, man.
So,
you know, a lot of people choose a negative way to do that too, sadly, you know, and that's been me before as well. But, you know, luckily now and thankfully and by the grace of God, I can do it in a healthy way at this point in my life. Yeah. You know?
Well, that's good. That's good. And, you know, when you guys, the EP has been out since late June. And so I'm sure you've gotten some response because we all know social media.
Oh, yeah.
And so what kind of responses or maybe some stories people have told you? How's it been so far?
That's a great question. Because I probably would have forgotten about this if you hadn't asked me, because my brain is not as good as it used to be. But so you know what? There's actually you know, we got a message from this guy last week, and this is just one of many stories. But we get a message from this guy, and you know, he messaged us on our Facebook, and he was like. He's like, oh man, I pay for, you know, Google Play monthly. He's like, and when your release came out, it was on the front page of the Google Play Music app. I don't know if you guys have that or not, but
yeah.
Our new release of Scarred, which was the first track we dropped.
Mm-hmm.
It's been up on there since like the June 1st was when our pre-orders went up. So he found that on June 1st. The message that he sent us was like, dude, I found you guys when your pre-orders went up. He's like, I pre-ordered the album the same day. He's like, and I've been listening to that one song, man, every single day. He's like, I was anticipating the record to drop. He's like, and when it dropped, he's like, I've been listening to the record every single day, man.
Wow.
And you know, this guy lives in New Jersey or somewhere like that, like way away from where we're at. You know, it's definitely not
next door.
It's not somebody that's, you know, next door who, you know, word of mouth from some local somebody here in the local scene, you know, talking about our band. Like, this guy literally just found us in the midst of, you know, everything on this, you know, on this music app, and just dove in and like fell in love, man. And
wow.
And so he's been very responsive. He's, you know, he'll like, now he'll come on our pages and like, he'll like posts or he'll comment on stuff. But, and we've had tons of those. But that one in particular really touched me because, you know, he was very much, appreciative of, you know, like the lyrical content and just our sound, man. He's like, dude, I thought that the sound was dead. He's like, I thought, you know, we weren't going to hear anything like this, anything else like this come out. He's like, I thought that late 90s, early 2000s, new metal sound was dead. He's like, and then you guys came out of nowhere. He's like, and brought hope to me. And like, you know, it's just, that's really cool. That's really cool to hear a story like that. So that's definitely one of the many, you know, in particular that has been very cool for me. There's been some people in Texas that hit us up. You know, they found us on, you know, iTunes, Spotify, wherever. 'Cause we're also featured in a bunch of playlists, all over, you know, in different apps and things all over the country. And so people are finding us everywhere. And as of last week, we are now on 6 radio stations in the United States,
awesome.
On 6 different FM radio stations. in regular rotation as well. So it's not just like
a one-time,
you know, a local show or a showcase for up and coming artists. Like,
right.
Mm-hmm. We're being played before and after our favorite bands on national radio stations, man.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So like,
yeah, that's hard to do, honestly.
Well, nowadays,
nowadays, because they always want to just, you know, regurgitate the same songs over and over and over throughout the entire day.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear a station that would actually play, you know, new good stuff that's coming out. Because, you know, as much as I love the classic stuff and, the, you know, the older stuff, it's like, come on, seriously, I want to hear something new.
Yeah.
No, man, I'm right there with you, dude. And, you know, it's really good. It's really good to be hearing from, like, so many people on, you know, on just everything, man. Like, how, you know, a lot of people have really fallen in love with this record. And you know, actually, our bass player just yesterday got a message from one of his friends. And his friend was like, dude, I just heard your track on the radio. And he lives in Portland, Oregon.
Wow.
So yeah, he just randomly gets a message from his buddy yesterday. And his friend was like, dude, I just caught the tail end of your song. He's like, on the radio station in Portland. And the radio report that we got from last week, because last week was our first week on national radio. It was our first week on the radio campaign. Mm-hmm. Four radio stations picked us up, but Portland was not in that list. So that means that Portland, since last week, has pulled our track, and they're now playing it as well.
Awesome.
That is awesome. That's why we love doing what we do, too, though, you know, because we get to play whatever we want. You know, and we love finding guys like you who have, you know, come up and coming, and you're doing great, and you have a great sound. But, you know, not a lot of people get to hear your music.
Right. No, that's for sure, man. Where are you guys located, actually?
We're in Redford, Michigan, so it's like we're 2 minutes from Detroit.
Yeah.
So.
Right on. Well, one of the stations that picked us up is in Minnesota. That's not far from you guys, is it?
No, not too far.
No, not too far. A couple.
It's like a state and a half over or so.
State and a half over.
I don't know.
Right. Well, it's closer than it is to us here in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, but, speaking of Phoenix, though, how did you guys all end up at Phoenix?
Right.
Because you're all from different states, yeah. Right?
Right. Well, that's funny. Actually, the guitar player is a native. That's what we call people that are from here and born here.
Right.
So, but the rest of us are from other places.
Yeah.
The bass player was born in New York City. The drummer was born in Chicago, and I was obviously born in Tennessee.
Right.
We all came out here at different times for different reasons. I think that the bass player's been here the longest. I want to say he's been here for 20 years or so, something close to that.
Wow.
I'm not really sure on the number, but he's been here for a lot longer than the rest of us have.
Yeah.
Minus the guitar player, because he was born here. But right. I know that the drummer moved out here in like 2005, I think, somewhere around that.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved out here in 2008. Oh. And for different reasons, but, you know, the drummer had a decently successful band back in Rockford, Illinois, where he's from.
Yep.
And then the bass player had a very successful band in Hollywood called Blind by Choice back in the 90s, early 2000s. And then, you know, I really, this is my first, like, you know, big break in the industry. You know, but we all moved out here for different reasons, obviously. Right. And when I actually joined the band, I wasn't looking for a band. Oh. I just was pretty much just sitting on my ass at home and had nothing going on. So
yeah, it's like Bob.
These guys showed up at my, they showed up at my door one day and they're like, hey, dude, this guy, Alex, he used to play guitar for me. They're like, yeah, this dude, Alex, told us that you're a solid singer. They're like, you want to join this band? And so, yeah, rest is history, I guess.
It's like Bob Ross says, it's a happy mistake.
Right? One of these little happy trees.
Here. Right, happy trees.
Bob Ross.
So yeah. I want to
pay a little.
Yeah, right.
Bob Ross.
So, how often do people think that Dave and Kenny are brothers? Because those guys seriously look a lot alike.
Oh my God, man.
Yes, because I don't know. I started watching videos on you guys, and then I was looking at the names. I'm like, they don't have the same last name. They are not related.
Man, dude, it's the beards, dude. It's the beards.
It is.
It's all about the beards, man. Like because if you see him in, person, Kenny stands like, I think Kenny's like 8.5 feet tall, and Dave is like 3.5 feet tall.
Well, they have like a similar nose structure too, so I don't know. They look a lot alike, though.
No,
not at all.
Yeah, it's honestly the beard, dude. Because in person, they don't look anything alike. All but right. Those beards, they both have some like crazy like Billy Gibbons beards, man. You know.
Yeah, they got like,
and I don't know,
back with a little white in it.
I'm pretty sure they've been growing those beards for like 100 years, both of them.
Oh, that's funny. Oh God, it's like father time, you know.
Right. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So when you're growing your beard.
Yeah.
Dude, I've got enough. I've got, you know, my I got my little like goatee with the what are these called? The chin strap.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
The chin strap with a goatee. That's enough for me, man. And my wife's pretty good with that, dude. So yeah. I'll stick with that, man.
Yes.
I tried to grow a beard out one time. That is the most irritating thing you could ever have on your face, well, man.
Actually, once you get past the itchy phase, it's not too bad, but it is annoying to have a beard. Because I had the big, long beard.
Once you get past how many days?
Yeah, the itchy phase. I don't know. It depends on the person.
Oh, I thought you said amount of days. I'm like, well, I didn't make it. I lasted like 30 days, dude, and I was done.
Wow.
Could not do it anymore.
No, I did the whole beard thing, and I was over a foot long with mine, but it gets in the way, it gets in your mouth, it's honestly disgusting. So I keep it short now.
Right. Yeah, man, I can't even like start getting scruffier. It like drives me crazy, man.
Yeah.
So I like to keep my facial hair all tight cut most of the time, because it bothers me if it's not. So
yeah, well, like you said, you know, I'm sure your wife appreciates it. So, oh yeah, you know.
Most women.
That's all that matters, I guess.
Exactly.
You got, everybody has to find something to live for, and usually it's a woman.
Yeah. True. I'm saying true because I'm sure my co-host and boyfriend would agree with you. So
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I have to live. Yeah. For a woman,
oh, you guys are an item, huh?
We are
a couple that do radio together.
Yeah, I know, crazy, and we still like each other at the end of it.
She talked to me into about a year ago. I started doing this with her, and you know, she could be like, "Oh, you should just get on." I'm like, "No, I don't want to." And then finally, I did it, and I've been doing it ever since. You know, I have fun doing it. I love talking to bands and guys like you, and you know, it's honestly, I know I'm doing it for fun, and it's kind of a hobby for me, but you know, I still take it seriously. I still do my research. Yeah. I still, you know, because you guys take it seriously, and I understand that, and I respect that.
You do, so obviously.
Right. Well, that's you know, that's good, man. That feels really good to hear people say that, because most people who aren't involved in the industry don't have any idea how much work goes into this, man. And it's a lot, you know. And that's, you know, and a lot of people that know anything about the industry, I can't really say that. Most people think they know. Yeah. anything about the industry. I have a friend who's in a local band, you know, and that's exactly what it is, and that's all it'll ever be, is a local band. Mm-hmm. And to step up from just being a local jam band that just meets up and does local shows, mm-hmm. you know, to the next level of, you know, going to a national level of radio play and, you know, interviews and magazine articles and, you know, it becomes a lot different at that point. There's a huge business side of it that comes into play that you don't have to worry about when you're just playing for fun, you know?
Right.
It's a much larger caliber of thing. And a lot of people don't understand to the extent of how hard this is to do, because if you don't have people backing you, then you don't get a return on the money that you spend. And trust me, like, you know, it's not, the industry is not the way it used to be, man. Like, you don't sign a record deal and wind up with, you know, $20 million in your bank account the next day. It does not work like that anymore. No. The way it works now is you put together a good record, you push it out, somebody hears it, they like it, they sign on with you. They pretty much just become your business partner. That's what a label is pretty much like today.
Yep.
Unless you're talking, you know, we're talking rock, in the rock genre. You know, if you're talking pop or, you know, hip hop, mainstream hip hop, you know, that's a different story, because, you know, that, you know, like Britney Spears and Drake and Lil Wayne and, you know, these guys, they're at a huge, huge national, worldwide level. And, you know, you start making TMZ, like, that's, you're at a higher level than most people. And, you know, artists like that are fully endorsed.
Oh, definitely.
And everything that they do is fully paid for by the millions, you know, and it's nothing to those people that are backing them. But in the rock industry, where I personally feel like the most talent lies, people have to work harder for what they're doing.
Oh, definitely.
And
it doesn't
make sense, because if you look at it from a talent aspect or talent level, it's like the people who deserve to be getting millions and millions and millions of dollars are getting thousands.
Yep.
And the people who deserve to be getting thousands are getting millions.
Amen. Amen. I'm telling you.
Right.
Amen. No, I mean, the, for example, tours, I see you guys are doing 3 Arizona dates. The 21st is a tribute to Chester Bennington, which is cool. Yeah. And then you have the 2 in Scottsdale, 1 in July on the 28th, and then 1 in September on the 19th. So, you know, talking about the financial aspect of a band in the rock industry, like touring, doing one-offs, right, jumping on a tour, like, what do you guys have
in the works?
Yeah.
So here's how that looks at the moment. Okay. So unfortunately, you know, like I was just saying, you know, bands in our genre have to have a lot more money out of their pocket than most other genres of people finding success on that, you know, on that national level.
Yep.
So in the rock industry, you're going to have to foot your bill for a tour.
Yep.
And whereas the venues are going to pay you, you know, per show to play at the venues, you still got to come up with the money up front to hit the road in the first place. So we are currently making money from our record sales.
That's awesome.
We are currently making money from our shows here local. And we also have a few different outlets for donations that we are taking in right now as well. So over the next month or two, We will easily have enough money and be ready to get on the road. We just have to
build your capital.
You know, we could, technically we could leave tomorrow if we wanted to.
But you want to make sure that you're set and you don't have anything to worry about while you're out.
Right.
Something will always happen.
And then there's the aspect too of like, we all have families here that are going to be staying here when we go on the road, and we need to also make sure that they're taken care of before we start going out and touring the country, you know?
Absolutely.
Right, right. So, but the way that this has been working is, you know, we get email blasts every day, from our record label, about, you know, tours. Mm-hmm. And they're always very, very large, you know, very well known artists that, that are wanting to take us out on the road with them. Mm-hmm. We haven't accepted any of these offers yet. And we've been getting these offers since January.
Wow.
But we haven't taken any of these offers yet because we wanted to wait until June 29th for our record to drop.
Mm-hmm.
Because we wanted to see what we're dealing with, what kind of record sales we're going to get off the record, what kind of acknowledgement we're going to get from other places around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Before we start actually putting our foot out there to go do that. So, well, now, since we're getting radio station recognition on FM radio stations and more stations are starting to pick us up, we made the front page of iTunes Canada on June 29th.
Awesome.
The day that our record dropped, iTunes Canada had our record for their cover page, which is huge.
That is
huge. Oh, yeah. That's tons of publicity.
So, and then we've got an ad that goes up in Revolver magazine at the end of the month. We've got, you know, a bunch of stuff in the works. So now that these things are coming to fruition, we're getting a better idea. We also wanted to find out what places in the country were buying our record more than others, because those are the places that we wanted to hit when we tour, so that we know that we're gonna sell out shows. We're gonna have really good turnouts at our shows along the way. So waiting was a very smart move on our end, business wise. So, but now that things are starting to happen, we've got our radio campaign going. We're starting to, you know, we get the Revolver ad and we got the iTunes page thing, and we can kind of start looking to see where our monthly subscribers are located in the country. Now it's time for us to jump on one of these tours that we get hit for. So, I'd say by the end of September, we'll be on the road, probably 100% certain.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I totally respect your decision to take your time and everything, because a lot of these bands will just jump right in it, you know, and they don't do so hot, and they wonder why it would happen. But, you know, I like that you're taking a more business approach to it, because essentially it is your business, you know.
But, well, we put a lot of time and work and money into our product, man, and there's no reason to, you know, to sell ourselves short, man. Like, you know, we all want to do this right. We just picked up a manager. The manager that we've got managing us now also works for Combat Records, which is Dave Ellison from Megadeth.
Oh, yep.
That's his record label.
Yes, it is.
So we've got, his name is Tom Hazard.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the guy who's, we just picked up to manage us for a few months, and we'll see how that works out.
Yeah.
Dave, our bass player's known the guy for years, so, you know, it's cool, man. It's cool to just, you know, have help from every angle, man, so we can really tackle this thing, you know, head on.
Well, you know, I was going to tell you, I believe Mark Rizzo from Soulfly is also on that label, too. So that's pretty cool.
Soulfly, I believe Soulfly is on that label, actually, yeah.
So that is, it sounds like things are really like going great for you guys, which I'm impressed. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not surprised, but I think that's pretty impressive.
No, it's definitely going very well. You know, this is going to be a good year, and we are going to be doing some good tours here coming up soon. We've got some things in the works right now, but I can't mention it at the moment because we don't have solidity in anything yet, I can't really talk about it.
Yep.
We never get the exclusive.
Yeah, we never get the exclusive. It's okay. It's all right.
I'll call you guys after the interview and tell you, so.
All right.
Just kidding, man. Just kidding, dude. Come on.
We're on every Monday from 6 to 8.
Yeah, we don't have to put you actually on the air. You can just call. Just
right. Right on. We're not live right now, are we?
Oh, yeah. We're live going across the airwaves, and we're Facebook living it, too.
Are we really?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Don't worry, we only have a few people.
Yeah, only have like 5 listeners. No,
most of the time, people go back and they'll listen to the podcast. That's where most of our listeners are.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm good with 5 listeners. That's fine.
So I can tell you, Ben, that when you guys do come into Michigan, that we have we always cook for our bands that we go and see that we've interviewed. So.
Well, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's we just got done cooking for Blacktop Mojo. They're out of Palestine, nice. Texas and stuff, so you can expect that when you come to Michigan, we're gonna bring you some real food.
Well, yeah, we also treated the guys from Joyous Wolf too.
Yeah.
Nice, dude. That's beautiful, man.
Well, yeah, we know it's hard for you guys. You don't want to eat burgers every day.
Right. Wait, what?
I said it's hard for you guys out there. You know, you get to see fast food all the time. I know you stop at restaurants too, but you get tired of the same thing over and over.
Oh man, yeah, dude, yeah, for sure. So it'll definitely be good to have a home cooked meal with you guys for sure, man.
So you just got to come to Michigan.
Well, I hate to cut this off with you guys, but I have to drive like an hour north to go play a gig right now with my brother, because I do cover gigs like 4 nights a week.
Cool.
Well, my brother and I play all over the valley here, and we'll, you know, we do like the Beatles and Pink Floyd and
awesome.
Charlie Daniels and
Sweet.
Hank Williams and Garth Brooks, and we literally play everything.
Yeah, no worries, though. I mean, we try to keep our interviews around half an hour, but, you know, if the conversation goes, the conversation goes.
We're not like, all right, we've got to get off the air.
All right, it's been 20 minutes. All right, see you later.
So
I'm a talker, man. I'll talk you guys' ears off.
And we'll just have to continue our conversation when we actually see you there, Ben, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
That's perfect. I've got much more that I can say, for sure.
Awesome. Well,
so do we.
We
mostly her, but so do we.
Well, that's the woman for you.
Oh, yeah.
True. Well, we appreciate you giving us a call, and we'll definitely keep pushing Morning Gray on our listeners and spreading the good music to our people.
Awesome. And throwing you in our rotation.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much, man. I speak on behalf of the band, but we definitely appreciate that.
Well, no problem, man. Have a safe drive to your stop there.
Well, where's the best outlet to find everybody or find you?
Yeah.
Man, we're everywhere now, dude. Honestly, if you type in Morning Gray on Google, you will have like 5 pages of Google that.
Sweet. All right.
That'll connect you to us somehow or another. We've got the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook,
yep.
Spotify, Reverb Nation. Dude, it's everywhere. But the best way to contact us would be Facebook.
Okay.
All right. Cool.
All righty.
All right, man. Well,
safe travels.
Thanks again.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. Safe travels.
All right, you guys have a good night, man.
All right, you too, Ben. Time. Bye.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Got to take a drink of my water.
Yeah, suck on that water. Anyway, hope you enjoyed it. I was glad his guitar was okay.
Yes.
I was a little worried for him. Gave him a moment to compose himself, because I know what that feeling is like. Not that I've ever panicked over a guitar, but...
Well, I think you would panic over a guitar if it was yours.
Yeah, considering how much guitars cost nowadays, yes, I would definitely panic.
All right, so what we found out, what's going on, the haps, what's been happening since this interview. Mm. This interview was back, let me get my reading glasses on, 7/16 of 18. So pretty close to a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Back in January, Ben had posted something about working with... What was it?
Revis.
Waylon Revis, who's an ex-Mushroomhead singer. They were working on a new song. There's nothing that has happened. He says, he even said in the post that he's not sure when it will ever come to fruition, or what's the word? I'm like, that's not the word.
If it will ever be released or come happen, or
what's the word?
Fruition. Rhymes with tuition.
You know what's funny is I have all these big words in my head, but I don't know how to say them.
You trip over your own tongue.
Yeah, I do. I trip over my own tongue.
It's okay.
So, nothing really going on with them right now, but we have a slight reason. We think we know why. So their bass player, Dave Vaughn,
opened a restaurant.
Yes. Yes. He opened a restaurant called Happy's Hamburgers. It is out in Scottsdale, Arizona. So if you are listening and you are in the Scottsdale, Arizona area,
check it out.
You probably already know about it, but check it out. Get your asses over there.
Yeah, because I'd go out to Arizona for his burgers.
I know. I really want to go out there now. So I'm going to give you the actual address. I'm going to post this on the description, too.
Yeah.
It is 10435 North Scottsdale Road in Scottsdale, Arizona. Go check it out, people. Give them a 5-star review and help our buddies in Morning Gray out.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it looks like they are still playing. They are still a band. They're still together. I just believe that right now, with everything going on, they're just busy in their own lives. So, you know, I'm not saying that they're not going to be a band anymore. I'm saying that they are kind of on a break.
Yeah, sounds about right.
But it is totally understandable with everything going on.
Like I said, I want to go to Arizona to try. You know, I wonder if he'd ship his burgers.
Well, you probably mean ship not. His burgers?
I don't know.
Why would he ship them? Is it going to be hot when it gets here? No.
We can always microwave them.
Blasphemy. That is blasphemy. I can't believe you just said that.
It was just a suggestion. I'm not saying you'd actually have to do it.
Doesn't he have like a chicken parmesan sandwich he was talking about
That's
too?
That's what I'm saying. He's talking about this chicken parmesan slider, and I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, I'd fucking fly out to Arizona and just eat his chicken parmesan sliders.
All right. Anyway, Morning Gray is awesome. I expect nothing but great things from these guys. Hopefully they come out with new stuff soon. So that's it. Check them out.
Yeah, like once we get this done, we'll have to tag Dave or put it on their page or something.
Oh, absolutely. I will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, as always, you can check us out every Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on K Radio Broadcasting, House of Noise, 1-3, CRBRadio.com. Check us out on Facebook, like our House of Noise page.
Yeah. All right. So that's it.
All right. Deuces.
Aloha.
Hang tight.
No, aloha means goodbye.
Okay. Goodbye.
Aloha means good. Hello and goodbye. And I love you. Aloha.
Okay, aloha. Bye. Bye.